Good morning, boys and girls. Good to see you. As has been mentioned in the opening prayer, this is the beginning of the last session of this year. I suppose I have 10, maybe 11 more assemblies to take between now and the end of this term. And I think that that will suit me very nicely as we seek to complete our study of this chapter 11 of Hebrews. This morning, we're at verse 21. Verse 21 of Hebrews, chapter 11. The verse reads, by faith. There's our term, our repeated phrase that we have been looking at. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, I'll repeat something that I have said on many occasions, and I'm sure has been said to you on many other occasions by other people. There is nothing in the Bible that has been carelessly put there. God never acts or speaks carelessly. But every word in the Scripture has a meaning, has a purpose, and we need to ever give thought to that when we're reading our Bible. Don't skip over anything. If you don't understand it, think about it, pray about it, and come back to it. And the Lord in His time will show you what it means. But it's there for a purpose. And here in this verse, there's a number of things we're going to look at. Perhaps we might use, by way of introduction, the fact that it's always wonderful to read of faith continuing within a family. Here's a granda blessing two of his grandsons. And of course, Jacob's dad was saved, and Jacob's granda was saved. So that's quite a number of generations that all had faith in the Lord Jesus. It's unusual to see faith being carried on over quite a few generations. So yes, you can see dad saved, mum saved, then sons and daughters saved, and perhaps grandsons and granddaughters saved. But the likelihood of that continuing on, sadly, is not very great. If you're a granddaughter or a grandson, and you know mum was saved, granda and granny was saved, and maybe great-granda and great-granny were saved, then you seek to walk as they walked and pass on the faith as you grow older. It says here too that in the middle of this blessing of his grandsons, Jacob seemed to be carrying his staff. Now why should God mention that? Why should God mention that? Well, he mentions it for us to take note of. And I have to confess that while I have read this many times, I never really thought too much until I came to looking at this verse. And it just seemed to leap out at me what we might learn from the fact that we are told here that Jacob was leaning on his staff when he blessed the boys. But we'll come to that in a moment. Let's notice that this is the last act of Jacob, or at least one of the last acts. He also addresses his sons and tells them about what the future holds for them by the spirit of prophecy granted to him by the Lord. That's recorded for us in the book of Genesis. He gathered all his sons and told them, here's what God is going to do with you in the future. And he is also here blessing these two boys. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. So these are the last acts of Jacob before he died. Those are always very important things for us to note. Jacob was a man who lived for God, knew God, and therefore would have been very conscious of what was happening and the fact that he was dying and soon he would be with the Lord. And therefore, what he was actually doing would have been very much under the influence of the fact, I'm going to leave this world very soon. I'm going to be with the Lord very soon. So, these actions on the part of Jacob would have been very calculated and worthy of our notice. First of all, I want you all to notice that God's blessing is something that every one of you, every one of us, need. What does it say? By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the sons of Joseph. He didn't open his wallet and say, boys, I'm about to go, here's some money. No. He bestowed something far more important, far more valuable, the blessing of God. And I say that it is something we all need, and that's emphasized here and underlined, because the two sons of Joseph would, in reality, have been two princes. They would have been nearly 20 by this time, 20 years of age. And they would have high status in Egypt. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 41 that Joseph was next unto Pharaoh. That's how important Joseph had become. He had come into the land of Egypt as a slave, a piece of merchandise sold as a slave when he got to Egypt. But God had raised him up until Pharaoh said to him, you're next to me in this land. More important than any other prince or any other member of the royal family, you're next to me. So the sons of Joseph would have been highly exalted, highly important, much regarded, great status, royal apparel and robes and position, and people would have respected them. But they needed God's blessing. They likely were, regarding earthly wealth, millionaires, if we might use a term used today, maybe even billionaires. But they had nothing if they had not God's blessing. And let me tell you this morning, you may have traveled here in a very comfortable car, having left a very comfortable home, but you have nothing if you do not have God's blessing. In Proverbs chapter 10 and the verse 22, we read these words, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. That's the difference between the riches God gives and the riches this world may bestow. Virtually every day I read of the sorrows of rich men and rich women. Sorrows that break up marriages, destroy homes and families, aye, and even bring people to ending their lives, even though they're very rich indeed, because the world's riches add sorrows. Doesn't do what those who desire riches think it will do. Settle their every problem, make them constantly happy and be at peace. No! The earth's riches brings with it sorrows, plural. But God's riches addeth no sorrow. God's blessing does not bring you misery. The world says it does. In my lifetime, especially away at the beginning when God saved me and my life changed, many of those I knew before said, what are you going to do that for? Why do you become a Christian? Sure, it's a life of misery. But you see, they were speaking out of the darkness. They were speaking out of the beguilement of the devil. The devil taught them. The Christians are a miserable being. They're not allowed to do this or that or the other thing. Whereas, you being a sinner, you can do whatever you like. But that's the devil's lie. Because all that the sinner does in this world doesn't bring him or her peace, joy and contentment. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And I speak from experience, boys and girls. On Friday past, I was 60 years saved. 60 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. That's longer than some of your mummies and daddies have lived. But I have proved every day that the riches God bestows by his blessing don't bring any sorrow. I have never for one second regretted getting saved, but rather I have rejoiced in that fact. And time and time and time and time again, as I've heard the news of some event, I have said to my wife, or she has said to me, isn't it great to be saved and not to face the misery that that poor person we have just heard about will face for all eternity? Oh yes, boys and girls, the blessing of God, it maketh rich and it addeth no sorrow. And old Jacob knew, you boys are princes. You have everything that Egypt can give you, but if you haven't God's blessing, you're nothing. And so, I'm going to bless you now. That's what he was saying. The Lord Jesus told a parable about a sower sowing seed and the various types of ground that it fell in. One of the types was that of thorny ground. Seed fell among thorns. And when he had finished his parable, the disciples said, Lord, what does that mean? What do you mean by this? And so he went on to explain then, for the Lord always explains, boys and girls. If you ask him, what did you mean, Lord? He'll tell you. God wrote his word, gave it to us, that we might understand it. It's not a book of mystery, as people say. The world says it's a book of mystery. It's not. The teacher doesn't set out to impart to you mysteries and leave you all puzzled. Oh, there's things maybe that the teacher's required to teach that do puzzle you, but that's not the purpose of her teaching. She doesn't want you to be puzzled. You may be puzzled, but she doesn't want you to be puzzled. And if she noticed you're puzzled, she'd take steps to explain what it is puzzling you. Well, God's the same to a far greater degree. And so he taught his disciples, here's what I mean, and he came to the matter of thorns, and here's what we read. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard the gospel, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Cares and riches of this world. They go together. Riches bring cares and troubles and burdens and distress. But the blessing of God it addeth no sorrow. We all need God's blessing, just like these two boys. Then secondly, I want you to notice, when it was Jacob blessed his grandson. It says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, as death approached Jacob, and he would have been aware of that fact, as every child of God who loves the Lord and is walking in obedience will know. Death will not come as a shock and a surprise to those who read their Bible and talk every day with the Lord. They will be aware, I'm reaching the end of my life. Oh, it does come as a shock sometimes in the form of accidents, but generally speaking, just like Jacob, the saints of God know that my time is coming. And as Jacob was aware of death's approach, he was all the more anxious to speak to his grandsons about spiritual matters, about eternal matters. In Genesis chapter 48, the verse 15 and 16 we read, and he blessed Joseph. It wasn't just the boys, he blessed Joseph. And said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel, or the messenger, that's what the word angel means, the messenger which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. He blessed the lads, prayed God would be with them as he had been with him and his fathers. He was wanting for the boys, as life was coming to an end, that they might have what he had had. Now he didn't say at the end of his life, I've had a miserable life. This following God and obeying God hasn't done me any good, and I don't want the boys to ever experience the like. He didn't say that. Instead he said, God has been good to me. And I want the boys to have the same. That's how it should be with every Christian. What we have experienced as Christians, we want to see our children experience by the grace and mercy of God. You will notice in these words here in Genesis 48, verses 15 and 16, that he commends them to the care of the God of his salvation. The God of his salvation. His God is here called an angel, you will notice. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. The Lord Jesus is often called an angel because he's the messenger of God. The Lord Jesus came with a message from God, a message of mercy, of love, of grace, of salvation. He's called the Word. He's the Word of God to us. And Jacob wants the boys to know the care that he received from Christ, the angel of God. That's what I would wish for you boys and girls, that each one of you might know the care that only Christ can give. Now, he was very confident of the care the Lord could give. He says there in Genesis 48, the God which fed me all my life long to this day. Every day of his life, Jacob knew God had fed him. God had provided for him. Now, Jacob at the end of his days was a very rich man. He had flocks by the thousand. And every day he fed of the very best. But as he fed, he didn't say, this comes from my great flocks. No, he said, this is God's doing. God is feeding me. And we must never forget that, boys and girls. And I hope you remember that. You might sit down and you haven't prepared anything of the meal you're about to partake of. You haven't had to pay for it. Mum and Dad have brought it to you and set it before you, and you're about to enjoy it. But thank God, for it is he who has brought it to you. And Jacob wants his sons, his grandsons, to enjoy the same mercy. He asked a strange thing. He says, let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. He would have God know them as he knew him, Jacob, and his father, Isaac, and his grandfather, Abraham. In other words, he's saying, Lord, I want you to treat these two grandsons of mine the way you treated Abraham, the way you treated Isaac, the way you treated me. Look on them as if they were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and deal with them with the same mercy. And I can honestly say, looking down on you, I would wish that God would deal with you as he in mercy has dealt with me, aye, and to an even greater degree. That's what those words mean. Last thing I want you to notice, and we did mention this at the beginning, it says in our text, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon a staff. Why does God say that? He didn't mention the cover of the eiderdown that was on his bed, for he was by his bed when this was happening. But it does mention the staff. Jacob blessed his sons carrying his staff. We might call that his walking stick. He's an old man. And he needed the help of his staff. But it also indicates that to the very last, Jacob was conscious of the fact that he was a pilgrim. If there's one symbol in the Bible of the pilgrim, it's the staff. So often we get pictures of people who are out on long walks or who go hiking into the country, and invariably they have a staff in their hand, for it helps them. And the pilgrim who's journeying to heaven has a staff. Now, we'll not go into what the staff symbolizes. Sufficient for me to say it's the Bible. You've got to keep the Bible at your hand. It'll help you, guide you, help you select the right road, pick the right steps. But to the very end, Jacob knew he was on a pilgrimage. And boys and girls, I want you never to forget you're on a pilgrimage. In my early days, living outside of Listenskee, I used to have to walk 2 miles to school in the morning and 2 miles back home again at night. No buses. I don't think a bus would even have got up our road. But anyway, as I walked those 2 miles going and coming, there were many things happening in the fields. There were a lot more birds in the hedges back then. A lot more rabbits, hares. I remember foxes in the fields. And while you might look at them, you didn't stop. You didn't climb over the hedge and go and investigate or chase after them. I was on a pilgrimage. I was going to school, or I was going home, and I wasn't going to be diverted. And you never forget, ever remember, that you're on a pilgrimage. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. And the things that are happening out there in the world are of no interest or benefit to you. They'll not satisfy your soul or do you good, but rather press on. Press on, making sure you keep your staff in your hand. You're a pilgrim. Boys and girls, make the right choice in life. Become a pilgrim for heaven. I close with some words of famous pilgrims who have gone before. Listen to them. Listen to these words. The words of Joshua. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No matter what you choose, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day. Make up your mind. Then there was another lovely lady called Ruth. And Ruth said to her mother-in-law, who was heading back to her native land of Israel, and she told her 2 daughters-in-law, whose husbands were dead, so they were widows, she said to them, go back to your own homes now. Go back to your own families. I can do no more for you. I'm going back to Israel. You're staying here in Moab. Go back. But Ruth said in answer to that, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. She became a follower of her mother-in-law, Naomi, but more importantly, she was a follower of God, and she would go with him. She was a pilgrim, bound for glory. Elijah, that famous encounter he had. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between 2 opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, the false god, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then you remember he prayed and the fire fell and the people said, the Lord, he is God. Boys and girls, you have a choice. Take up the pilgrim staff and, like Jacob, walk all your days until the last day of your life and still be found holding the pilgrim staff. May the Lord bless you today through his word. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to every heart. Lord, may it mean something, especially to the older ones, and if any are not saved, God, save them, and may they start for heaven today. Bless the school as it begins the last term of this school year. Be with it every day, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.